Perfect. And I will end the live feed. For those of you on Facebook who want to join us, please come on to Zoom and we will get you guys all set up. So let's go. So thank you so much. We have Naomi joining us tonight. So what's fun is that Jean-Luc and I did were presenters last year at her Surviving the Holidays seminar that she held for 3 days. Some of you actually attended, I know. And so we asked her at the time if she wanted to come be a guest on, for our P3 members, and she agreed right away. And so we're glad to have her here. February, is all about self-love. So I'll introduce you a bit about her first, and then we'll have her go start and go through her session with you all today. So Dr. Naomi Hall is a veteran educator with 20 years of experience, ranging from classroom teacher to district administrator. She has personally experienced burnout and helps educators from a place of understanding. She uses practical steps to help educators build effective stress management habits. Her goal is to bring hope and help to stressed out and overwhelmed educators. You can come back from stress and burnout and stay in the career you're called to. Educators hire Naomi to help them gain control of their lives so they can love their life and career again. Naomi firmly believes when administrators help their staff, they help their students. So, and Naomi, I'm glad to have you here with us today. So on that note,
Thank
I
you.
will let you take over and go ahead and introduce yourself further and kick off the session.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. As Nick said, I had Nick and Jean-Luc. I had Antonetta. I had Kieran. I had Sandra, some other people that that were part of my Surviving the Holiday Hustles Summit. And it was a fantastic experience. So I'm excited to be here. And yes, I am a stress management and burnout coach. I do work mostly with educators, but everything that I teach educators applies to anyone because stress is stress. Like we all experience it. And so knowing that it is February, the month of love, Valentine's Day is next week. I am talking to you tonight about mastering your mindset so that you can love your life. So I teach stress management from five foundations. It's your body, it's nutrition. So movement, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and mindset. Those are my key factors when I'm working on stress management with clients and when I'm teaching about it. So today we're just talking mindset because it's so important. So as Nick said, I do have a background in education. I spent 18 years directly in education as a teacher. I graduated from, like, I went to college to become a teacher. I actually graduated from college in that same major, which is very rare, and immediately started teaching. My background is science. So, all the fun experiments and demonstrations and explosions and all of that, but all of the stress. All of the stress, because also I'm a high achiever driven kind of person, so I can generate my own stress, forget like everybody else creating stress for me. So I did burnout several times. I had to fight my way back from burnout on my own, and so that is why I started my business, was I had to figure this out on my own. It was really hard figuring this out, trying to figure out how this works. How do I come back? How do I stay in my career? And I wanted to provide that for other people. So I provide it for educators and other professionals because there's a lot of stressful professions. And even if you feel like you're not in a profession or a professional, you have stress, right? So what I would like you to do right now, I know some of you have notebooks in front of you, so awesome. If you don't, just grab a slip of paper, something. And I want you to just kind of do a quick self-assessment. What on a scale of 1 to 10 is your stress level right now? What are you sitting at right now? My stress level might be a little bit higher right now because I'm presenting and that comes with its own stresses, but I love what I'm doing. I am so excited to be here that it's not a gut-sucking stress. Like I'm excited. So I wouldn't put my number too high, but whatever your number is, 0 to 10, 10 is like off the charts, losing your mind, can't focus. 0 is you're super chill, you're probably not alive right now. So just write that number down and we're gonna move forward. We'll come back to it a little bit later. A little bit on the personal side with me, I am a dog mom. She's not in the room right now. She's usually on the other side of my computer, but she occasionally makes an appearance and occasionally can be heard. And I live in New Hampshire, so I am not too far from some of you, kind of in the same region. And I have to say, Dominican Republic in February, like that's a fantastic time to go. My one trip to the Dominican Republic was in June, but it was perfect then as well because I was escaping extreme stress. It was one of those, I went to an all-inclusive resort by myself. And I showed up there and I planned to go by myself. This was not like somebody backed out on me. This was, I need to get out. I need to get away from people. And I need to go somewhere where the only decision I have to make is, do I want to sit by the ocean or do I want to sit by the pool? And what do I want to drink? That was it. I got there and people were like, where's your husband? Where's your boyfriend? And I was like, no, it's me. And I had a fantastic week. So sometimes you gotta do those things. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And that was my, like, I'm like, I don't want to see people. I don't want to talk to people. I just, no decisions. So that is what I did. And that was, I think, 2021. And it was fantastic. So I encourage you to do those kind of things. Sometimes you just need your own retreat to just get away and recenter yourself. So I want to start off with ditching the negativity because we live in such a negative culture. Now, I know some of you are probably avid note takers. Here's my request of you. As I go through this, I'm going to give you a lot of tools. I want you to choose two or three max that are going to be your takeaways that you can apply right away. Because my goal is never to overwhelm and cause more stress. My goal is to give you the tools that will work for you. And everybody is different. And some of the things I talk about are not going to land for you. And you'll be like, I don't think that would work. But some will, and you'll be like, yes, that one, I need to do that. So my recommendation to you is two or three takeaways. That's it. Okay. So when we're talking about ditching the negativity, I'm going to teach you something called scribble and scrap. And I love this. It came out of, I believe, the University of Ohio. So we have all of these thoughts going on all day long, roughly 80,000 thoughts a day. And if you just think of like all the thoughts you've had in the last 5 minutes, it makes sense. Like we think a lot. But what's really eye-opening is that 90% of those thoughts are negative. So now, just think through the last 5 minutes. What's been running through your mind? Think about getting ready for work in the morning. What is the conversation running in your head as you're getting ready for work in the morning? Oh my goodness, I hope Bob's not in again. He's so obnoxious. Oh, the traffic, the traffic. I gotta get out of the house in 5 minutes or I am never gonna make it to work on time. Oh my goodness, my hair today. What is wrong with my hair? Oh, my hair, it's ridiculous. This dress, like it, oh, I need to lose 20 pounds. This is horrible. Like, how did I let myself get here? And we have this running commentary of negativity inside our own head. So we're not even talking about the negativity outside of us. We're talking about the negativity inside us. So the way scribble and scrap works is you start to notice those negative thoughts. And those negative thought spirals that we can get into. You know how it goes? You're like, you get caught in a traffic jam on the way to work and you're late to work. So you get to work, you're like, oh my goodness, like, had I left 5 minutes earlier, I would have missed the traffic jam is because some idiot ran a red light. My whole day is ruined now. And we replay that same story over and over again all day long. By the time you get to the end of the day, what kind of day did you have? Not a very good one, did you? But was it really a bad day? Or was it 1 5-minute event that turned your day bad because you kept replaying it? How many times have you done that? You're like, it was a horrible, rotten, no good, terrible. You know that book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? You've replayed 1 5-minute event all day long and turned what was actually probably a pretty decent day into a bad day. So with scribble and scrap, you notice that negativity, you grab a piece of paper and you scribble down whatever it is that is spiraling through your head. You crumple it up and you throw it away. So the study that the University of Ohio did found that the people who just noticed the negative thoughts versus the ones who noticed them, wrote them down, crumpled up the paper and threw them away, the people who scribble and scrapped were able to move on in a more positive direction. So it's really, really helpful for moving past those negative thoughts. And we all have voices in our heads. Like, we're not crazy. We've got voices in our heads. I have a friend that was like, I got people up here. And we all do. There's things that have been said to us in the past that come back and they get said again. So your first step can just be noticing the thoughts. And then I encourage you to put a name on them because you're going to have a conversation with those thoughts if you're not able to scribble and scrap them. So I just pick Felicia because I like to be like, bye, Felicia. We're done. We're not going that direction. We're going this way and take control of those negative thoughts. So we do have control, but usually we just let them run rampant and they just wreak havoc. So scribble and scrap. And if you're not at a place where you can write and scribble and scrap, take note and have a conversation with yourself of like, listen, Joe, like that's not true. Like we are not letting one traffic jam ruin our entire day. So we're 5 minutes late for work. We're going to go in and we're going to start with our best foot forward and we're going to show up in love and power and joy. And this, we're going to rock this day. And you take back the power of your thoughts. The next thing I want you to consider is visualization. We see this all the time with athletes. So just think the Olympic Games. Think of the swimmers, oh, what do they call it now? There's another name for it. I'm going to call it synchronized swimming, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay. The synchronized swimmers, the divers, the skaters, the gymnasts, when you see them when they're not on the floor or on their event or apparatus, they're on the sides visualizing their routines, visualizing their race. You see, I think like Michael Phelps, you see him walk out. Hood pulled forward. He has headphones, earbuds, something on, and he is in his world. Nothing else is going on. He's visualizing his race. And he is I mean, look at all the medals that Michael Phelps has. Okay. You think of let's be like Simone Biles, gymnast. On the sides, if she's not cheering on one of her teammates, she is running her routine, and you see them sometimes, like they're like whoosh, they're like moving their body through the whole thing. They are visualizing the perfect routine. We do visualization often in a negative way, in the what ifs. What if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And we try to excuse it as a, well, I'm just trying to play worst case scenario, so I'm prepared. However, our unconscious mind hears all that is going on, and all that you're saying, and all that you're thinking, and it acts on those things. That's why you never tell a child, don't touch the stove, because all they hear is touch the stove. Our unconscious mind doesn't have the negatory words. So you don't tell a child what not to do, you tell them what to do. Put your hand down. Please sit on the couch. Not, don't jump on the couch. What are they going to do? They're going to jump on the couch, right? Sit on the couch. We need to do the same thing for ourselves and visualize our day and what our day is going to be like. All right. So I'm going to drive to work. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get to work. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to feel powerful and confident and amazing. And it is going to be such a great day. I'm going to talk to my boss. And this is how that conversation is going to go. And I'm going to call this client. And this is how this conversation is going to go. This is what I'm going to say. This is how they're going to respond. And when you visualize positively, you're going to notice a change. So I am in the middle of a transformational leadership program. And I'd say, like, absolutely transformational. It has been the absolute worst and the absolute best, because they are taking us to deal with such deep, entrenched ways of thinking. But we get to be our best when we deal with all of that garbage and negativity and everything. You dig out all of that junk, then you get to be the best version of you. And I get to show up as I get to be a loving, joyful, powerful leader. And when I show up that way, that's what I attract. That's what I bring towards me. My energy generates energy towards me. So what I bring is what I get. We hear the phrase, your vibe attracts your tribe, and there is so much truth to that. So when we start working on all of this negativity here, you'll be like, oh my goodness, people are so much nicer now. Well, they were there, you just didn't see them. You saw what was be what you were generating in your head. You were attracting what you were generating and the energy that you were bringing. If I show up with a very weak energy and very withdrawn and very quiet, that's what I'm going to get back from you. But if I'm here in my power and my energy and my strength and like I am raring to go, I promise I didn't drink any pre-workout before I got on here, and I promise it's decaf in this because I got to sleep after this. But if I show up in my energy and my positivity and power, that's what I'm going to generate from you. So visualization is powerful. You never visualize the negative. You never visualize things going wrong. Think about surgeons. If they're using visualization, I want them visualizing the perfect surgery if they're going to work on me, right? I want them visualizing the perfect incision, the perfect movement of things, everything. I've had a few surgeries. You can see a little bit of a scar right here. Pretty delicate surgery I had, and the doctor that did it, like the man was a giant. So you can't tell because we're on Zoom. I'm 6 feet tall, so I'm not a tiny woman. I am very tall. Me standing in front of this man, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy is huge. Very delicate surgery. He did it amazingly. He is the top surgeon for what I had done. I actually had a piece of my trachea removed, and the stitches to put my trachea back together were like, he was doing tiny stitches with like thread, whatever you call that stuff, sutures, the size of a hair, a human hair. He visualizes the perfect surgery. So we use visualization to visualize the perfect situation, the positive situation, instead of all of the negative. The next thing for dealing with negativity is bless and block. There are people in our lives that generate negativity, that bring negativity, that drag us down. You know the people I'm talking about. You can name them right now. The people that you're just like, oh my goodness, she's here again. You know. Or they're on social media, and the things that they say make your blood boil. Block them. Use that block button generously because nobody needs that energy in their life. And there's plenty of negativity we can't control. So we're going to take control where we can. So bless, they're a wonderful person. You just don't need to see them on social media. Bless, they're a wonderful person. You just don't need to spend a lot of time with them. Okay. It is okay to curate your friend circle. I actually highly recommend it. Surround yourself with the people that help you focus in the positive direction and bring out the best in you. If they're bringing out the worst in you, you need to reconsider that friendship. And maybe it's time that that friendship faded to the side a little bit. Not that you won't show up for them, but you just let that friendship go to the side. Some friendships have an expiration date on them. Like there are friends that are meant for a time in our lives, but some people aren't meant for our entire lives. And we try to hold on to friendships that aren't meant for our entire lives and don't help us be our best. So, fantastic people. We want the best for them. We just don't want them to be at the center of our lives. We want the people who bring out the best in us. We want our social media to be filled with the people who bring out the best in us. So there are these amazing functions in whatever social media platform you are on where you can block, you can hide, you can silence, and you can say, I want to see less of that. Because, you know, every now and then you get that ad that you're like, oh my goodness, what just popped up in my page? I want to see less of that. I don't want that on my page. Okay. Curate your social media. And while you're curating your social media, look at what you're following. If it causes you to compare, to feel bad, to judge, which really that's what social media is teaching us to do, it's teaching us to judge and compare constantly and make judgments and comparisons. Constantly, as we scroll, we're deciding, I want to see that. I don't want to see that. I want to see that. I don't want to see that. I like that. I don't like that. And it's teaching us to do that over and over and over again. And our brain is really good at what we repeat. So, whatever we repeat, we get good at. And so, that's what social media does. So, curate your social media, unfollow pages that are not good for you mentally or emotionally or physically. Unfollow people that have that same effect on you. Block, hide, silence. Like, I know there are some people you can't block or unfriend because, like, they're family members and you want to keep the peace in the family. Hide them, mute them. There are ways to do it that they don't know that you're not seeing their stuff because all of us have those family members that like say and do things that really drive us crazy, right? Or is that just my family? Kind of think it's all of us, right? There's somebody. So hide, mute, unfollow, unfriend, curate your social media so it is what you need it to be to help you stay in a good space rather than looking at me like, oh my goodness, I don't look like her. My house doesn't look like hers. I will tell you, if you're on my social media, you will see me at like 6 a.m. after I've worked out, sweaty, frizzy hair, no makeup, in my like sweaty workout clothes. That's generally when I go live or do stories, and I don't put a filter on. You get me as I am when you see me most of the time on social media because we need more of that. And so you get the real life of Naomi Hall when you see me on social media. Like, it's not always pretty and beautiful and my sink is full of dirty dishes and all that stuff. And there are dog toys strewn across my living room. I had a friend over Friday and I hadn't vacuumed. It's winter, so there's sand all over my carpet. Like, it's real life. We all have dirty dishes. We all have sand. We all have whatever, children's toys strewn across the floor, dishes in the sink. The microwave is dirty. I haven't dusted. We'll just leave it at that. But we all have those real things. So find the people that you can follow that don't make you feel bad about yourself and the fact that your bed's not made. You haven't vacuumed. Your refrigerator might be growing a couple of science experiments. It's real life, folks. And then we have some steps that we can take to help us. When that stress has just gotten, it's getting right here. You ever feel it right here? The stress? You're like, oh my goodness. And you realize you're breathing from your chest, which is not where we're supposed to be breathing from. So little fact here. When we breathe through our mouth, we increase our stress levels and we increase our cortisone. So being a mouth breather actually increases your stress. So, I told you my background is in teaching. So, when you teach, you do a lot of this. You do a lot of talking. So, teachers, not only is it a stressful profession, you're then teaching. And when you're teaching and speaking, how do you breathe? Generally through your mouth, right? So, then you're wondering, like, why are teachers so stressed? That's one of the reasons. And I was like, oh my goodness. I love breath work. I am not a breath worker. Okay. But I have some that are like my go-to tools. And actually one of the speakers that was on the same, was he on the same summit? No, he was on a summit previous to Nick and Jean-Luc. He is like a guru of breath work, and I recently read his book and I was like, oh my goodness, I breathe wrong. Who knew you could breathe wrong? But our goal is to breathe from the abdomen, from our diaphragm. So I just want you to put your hands down on your abdomen, down on your stomach. Put both hands there. And just take a couple of nice deep breaths in through your nose and out through your nose. And notice your abdomen expand and contract with each breath. Okay, so now I'm going to take you through a couple different of my favorite breathing techniques. The first one is box breathing. And box breathing is actually used by the special forces. Navy SEALs use it when they're about to go on missions to help them focus in their minds. So it's a fantastic one to use when you're like feeling really scattered, overwhelmed. You're about to go into a big meeting. You're about to have a confrontation with somebody. You need to make a phone call, and phone calls just like, I was talking with someone tonight. We're like, I hate making phone calls. I would rather have a text conversation with someone. So it's great for those kind of things to just really focus yourself in. So lean back in your chair, back supported by your chair, feet on the floor, hands down on your abdomen. And the way this works is you're going to breathe in for a count of four. You're going to hold your breath for a count of four. You're going to breathe out for a count of four and then hold your breath for a count of four. So it's called box breathing because you breathe in, hold, out, hold. So it's in the shape of a box. So I'm going to take you through it. And I will let you know that it is a little bit uncomfortable because we don't intentionally hold our breath most of the time. We unintentionally hold it. So when we intentionally hold it, it can be a little bit uncomfortable. But if you give it a chance, you'll find you'll notice a difference. So we'll go through a couple of cycles of that. So I just want you to take a nice breath in and back out, and then breathe in for one, two, three, four. Hold one, two, three, four. Breathe out one, two, three, four. Hold one, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four, breathe out. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Out. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. And breathe your normal rhythm. How did that feel? Give me some comments in the chat. Love to see some chat in there. How did that feel, that box breathing? I could see some of you doing it. I love that some of you have your cameras on. What did you think of that one? Oh, I'm a teacher, folks. I can wait until you respond. Okay, so some of you who've done it, good, calming, yep. Nice. Was it uncomfortable for anybody? Okay, good. All right, I have another one. This one is triangle breathing. Good, I love that you're in the chat now. You're awake. This one is triangle breathing. So similar to box breathing, And similar use. You can use it to really focus yourself in, bring in your thoughts, rein in your thoughts. So these are really good for when you've got that like swirling brain, you know, like it's just like, what is the word I want for it? But you know, like everything's just, you got a hurricane in your brain, right? And like you just can't gather it all together. These are really good for that. So triangle breathing takes out one of the holds. So we'll still use the four count and breathe in for four, hold for four, out for four, back in again. So there's only one hold and you only hold after you've breathed in. This one you might find a little bit more comfortable because it takes out one of the holds. Now you can adjust the counts. I actually find personally, I like a five count better. You might like a three, a four, a five. Just play with it to figure out which one you like best. Okay. So again, sitting back in your chair, back supported, hands on your stomach so that you can feel your stomach rise and fall as you breathe. Take a nice deep breath through your nose. Let that out. And breathe in for one, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Out. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. And resume your regular breathing pattern. How did that one compare? Give me the in the chat. What did you notice? Do you like that one better? Do you like box breathing better? Okay, so you found that one harder, Barb. Okay. And it really is very personal. And so that's why I kind of give a variety. Okay, yep, better once you got it going. Like the box, I love box breathing. I don't know what it is. Okay, yeah, so you're seeing there's a variety here. Like some of you prefer the box breathing, some of you found this one a little bit more natural. I personally love the box breathing. There's something about triangle that my body kind of resists a little bit, which probably means I need to practice it more. If there's some resistance, there's probably something I need to work on there. But box breathing, I love. I will do it on the way to go speak. I will do it before a big meeting. I'll do it before going on stage to speak, anything like that. Love it. Triangle breathing, I provide it because I know it works for people and I know it's good. For me, my go-to is box breathing. But the next one is my all-time favorite. It is my go-to. It is like in my back pocket. I do it without even thinking. So this one is the 4-6 breath. This is our relaxation breath. The key on this one is that your inhale is shorter than your exhale. This one doesn't have a shape because it's only got two pieces to it. So box, triangle, and then this is just 4-6. So the key is that longer exhale. That longer exhale tells your unconscious mind, I'm safe. It's okay to relax. I can calm down. That's the key with this one. That longer breath, it tells your unconscious mind, all right, we can bring things down. We can calm down. It's all good. She's got us. He's got us. Things are under control. So this is my when I'm like getting all amped up and I can feel everything in my chest and my neck. I hold my tension in my neck so bad. Like the back of my neck into my shoulders. It's really bad. When I was getting massages regularly, my masseuse was like, let's see if we can actually eventually get you de-stressed enough that like those muscles relax. I was like, I know, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. The 4-6 is amazing because it requires very little thought. You're going to breathe in for four, out for six. I'm taking you through four cycles of each of these. You can do it either by a number of cycles, however many you want to do, or you can set a timer for yourself for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, however long you have and however long you want to do it. I do highly recommend that you practice these in a non-stressful situation prior to using them, because then you've kind of trained your body to do them. So practicing them when you get up in the morning, practicing them before you go to bed. They're great to do at bedtime. Before meals is another great time, because we tend to rush through meals. And I don't know if maybe Kieran has talked about this a little bit, of when we're in a high stress state, our bodies don't digest our food well, because that's not a priority when your body's under stress and trying to fight, flight, you know, all of that. Digestion, that's like way down on the list when you are in fight, flight, freeze, fawn, all of that stress mode. Digestion, your body's not thinking about it. So when we like rush through our day, grab food, throw it in our mouths, run off on a whatever we got to do next, our body's like, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to digest that? I'm worried about like fighting off tigers or something that are attacking us because we're so stressed. So doing a couple rounds of breathing before you eat can be so good for your digestion and for the health of your gut. This one is a fantastic one. Box breathing, triangle breathing, and this one are pick one you love and do that before you eat. So 4-6, sitting in your chair, feet on the floor, hands on your abdomen. Nice deep breath in through the nose and let it out. And breathe in. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six. And return to your regular rhythm. How did that one feel? Tell me in the chat, what do you think of that one? The 4-6. Nice. You love it, Barb? It's my favorite, my absolute go-to. I feel myself stressed. I don't even count it anymore. It is a nice, easy one. I literally, when I'm stressed, I'm just like, with a nice, long breathing out. Yes. Yep, Sandra, you use this one. Nice. This is absolutely my go-to. When I am stressed, I take a short inhale, nice long exhale. I don't even think about it anymore. I also like to use this one. Oh, I'll actually, Sue, I will get to one similar to that in just a second. I like this one at bedtime if I'm struggling with sleep. Rather than counting sheep, count your breaths. Okay. Counting sheep doesn't really do much for you. But counting your breaths really can help. And so 4-6, I love for sleep because of the relaxation breath. The final one is actually right, is a bedtime one. I'm gonna do 4-7-8. And so it's got the shorter inhale, it has a longer hold and a longer exhale. And this one is recommended for sleep. My struggle with using it for sleep is I have to think too much to use it. And my goal is not to think when I'm trying to fall asleep. So I go for the 4-6. But again, everybody is different. And for some people, this is like the fantastic bedtime sleep ritual is using the 4-7-8. So again, sit back in your chair. This is our final breath. And then we'll go on to another topic. Take a nice deep inhale through your nose and let it out. And breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, and breathe your regular rhythm. How do you feel on that one? Like, that is the last breathing we're gonna do because I don't want to put you to sleep. I still have more to share with you. So share in the chat how did that one go? How do you like that bedtime one? You're all gonna be like ready to go to sleep. It is much longer and it takes a bit to adjust the in count, like how fast you have to breathe on the four in order to make it through the seven and eight. Lindy, you feeling sleepy? Yep. It is a good one. It is very relaxing. It's very good for sleep. It is a lot of counting. It is. But again, you get used to it and it gets comfortable. It does take that one definitely takes some practice just because of the length of it. And trying to breathe in enough on a four to hold for seven and out on eight. But now what I would like you to do is again, what is your stress level now on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'd love to see in the chat what you started at and what you're at now. What was your stress level at the beginning and what is it now after the breathing? Nice, from a 3 to a 1. I like it. That's a good improvement. Hopefully, you don't see any numbers going up. 3 to a 0, 3 to a 2. 7 to a 9. Oh no, I took you backwards. That wasn't my goal. 10 to a 6, 6 to a 4. Nice. Good. So most of you coming down 6 to a 2. All right, Allison. Nice. You're going to have to use some breathing regularly, help you with that stress. I like it. Nice. Most of you, your numbers are coming down 8 to a 5. Good job, Sue. Yeah. And that was just from a couple minutes of breathing. Now imagine if you use that regularly throughout your life, a couple times throughout the day. Imagine what that would do for you. Can really make a difference in your life. And like when you practice them, they're like in your back pocket. You'd be like, all right, I need some box breathing right now. Or, oh, 4-6 needs to, like, I need to use 4-6 for a little bit. And the awesome thing about breathing techniques is you can use them and nobody has to know that you're doing them. Like nobody has any idea because it's just breathing and you can count to yourself in your head. I use my fingers usually when I'm doing the box breathing so that I don't have to, because I have four fingers and then I don't have to count. So it works quite nicely. And you can do that for the triangle too. But like nobody has to know that you're using that as a tool to help you with your stress. It was just an amazing tool to use. So we've talked about ditching the negativity. We've learned some breathing techniques. The next step in managing your stress is freeing your mind. So the first thing we're going to talk about is closing the loops. So our short-term memory can only hold on to so many things. It actually can only hold on to like five things at once. And then we either lose them or we have to put them into long-term. So oftentimes we're running around trying to hold things in short-term memory with open loops. What I mean by that is our brain's trying to hold on to them so that we don't lose them. So think about, you're like, oh my gosh, remember to stop and pick up Johnny after school. Remember to stop and pick Johnny up after school. Remember to stop and chop stop and pick up Johnny after school, because normally you don't pick up Johnny after school. Johnny rides the bus or goes to a friend's house or whatever it is, but you need to pick Johnny up. And so you keep trying to keep that in your head. Well, while you're trying to keep that in your head, you can't, your brain's not free to do other things because it's trying to hold on to that and not lose it. And so it's not able to do what it's supposed to do as far as like problem solving and focus and all of that. But if you write it down, it closes the loop for your brain. Even if the task is not complete, the act of writing the task down frees your brain from having to hold on to it, and it closes the loop for your brain. So your brain's like, ah, okay, I can focus on what I need to focus on now. So instead of trying to hold things in your brain, just write them down. And it doesn't even matter where you write them down. It is helpful if they're like things that you need to accomplish, that like you write them down somewhere that you'll find it again so that you can like actually do it. But just the act of writing it down closes the loop for your brain and allows it the freedom to do what it needs to do. So when you've got those things spinning in your brain, just write them down. I literally do this when I'm sitting in church and I have things spinning in my head and I'm trying to pay attention. I just flip to a piece of paper. I have a notebook. I flip to a clean page and I just jot down the things that are spinning in my head and I write them down. And then I'm able to sit and focus in church, which is kind of what you're supposed to do when you're in church, right? I do it in meetings when there's like, I'm like, oh, I got to remember to do such and such. I jot it down. If you look at my notebooks where I've been taking notes, you'll often see things written across the top, header space, because it was something that was like spinning in my head that I needed to close the loop. And so I jotted it down there. I may have had to transfer it at some point, but for that moment, it closed the loop so that I could focus on what I needed to focus on. So start getting in the practice of closing your loops, of writing down what needs to be done rather than trying to keep it in your head. Have you ever tried to go grocery shopping without your grocery list? How effective is it? Even less effective is going grocery shopping without having written a list, right? You're like, what did I need? I have no idea. So I actually keep my grocery list in my phone because my phone's almost always with me. So I don't forget my grocery list, because if it's on a piece of paper, I often forget it. So my phone is, I actually have a grocery shopping app, Our Groceries or something. I have an app for it. There are plenty of them that you can use. You can even use your notes in your phone, but close the loops, write things down. I have a planner. I am still working on finding the planner that I absolutely love. I thought I had found it for this year. Not it. We'll have to try again for 2025. But my planner has time blocks, so I can time block my day, and then it has a to-do list underneath it and then some other spaces. So anything that needs to be done, it goes in a to-do list on there. And then there's like another space on the side where anything that I haven't blocked into my week, but it eventually needs to get done, I have a list over there of those things that I can carry forward and I don't have to try to remember them. Like I had prepping for this webinar on my list for a little bit until I was ready to put it into my week and prep for it so that I didn't have to remember, like, oh, shoot, I didn't prepare for that. It was in my list. So close your loops. And then, you know how we always have a to-do list, like always. We're gonna die with a to-do list that has things on it. Okay. Let me just like be the bearer of bad news. You're gonna die with things undone. Okay. That's just kind of how life and death work. But we end up copying over our to-do list, right? When you do that, if there is anything on your list that can be done in 2 minutes or less, I call it the 2 minutes to do stuff. Oh, that, and hand signals. I give off balloons, and if I do another one, there'll be like fireworks going off as well. I can send you some love. Oh, now it's not gonna do it for me. Is it gonna do it? It happens at the most like inopportune times that like these things go off for me. But there you go. We're all happy, right? 2 minutes to do. So anything on your to-do list that can be done in 2 minutes or less, do it and do not write it on the new to-do list. Okay? Anything, because it's 2 minutes. All right? So what I have actually gotten to doing is if I walk by and something takes less than 2 minutes to do, I do it rather than leaving it for later. So let's say, you know how like you do laundry, but there are some things that can't be dried. So like they're on the rack or whatever. And then like you didn't fold them at the same time you folded the rest of the laundry. So you've got like five items sitting. If I see them sitting, I just grab them, fold them, and put them away. Because like five things, I can fold that in less than 2 minutes and have it put away. I'm not a fan of folding laundry and putting it away. That's why I bring that one up, because that's something I can really just like let sit like for a long time. So, like putting the dishes away. I do not have a dishwasher. And I have a bar sink, like literally a bar sink. So I have been hand washing my dishes for far too long. But putting away the dishes is another one. How long does it take to put away the dishes? Oftentimes we walk by and they're like, oh, that has to be done. Oh, that has to be done. Oh, that has to be done. And in reality, it takes you 2 minutes to do it. So just do it. So 2 minutes to do. You're rewriting your to-do list. If it can be done in 2 minutes or less, go do it. And now it doesn't go on to the next list. Okay. Another thing to free up your mind is journaling. And actually, I have some templates for journaling, some PDFs that I will share with Nick and Jean-Luc that they can give to you that you may find helpful. Some of them are morning journaling pages, some of them are evening journaling pages. You can print them out. I am not much of a journal, especially a free writing journaler. So having some prompts I find to be very, very helpful. But the act of journaling allows you to get thoughts out of your head and onto paper, and it frees your mind. So I do journal quite a bit when I'm going through really rough stuff. You'll find that if you look at my journals, it's when I was going through deep waters and really struggling with things. So journaling helps your brain process. And it's actually the act of handwriting is very, very helpful because it goes from your brain to your hand. You see it. So it's very good for the processing. Another thing that I found very helpful for journaling is the Growth Day app. So the Growth Day app is by Brendon Burchard. And I also can give you a link for that as well. I'll send an email to Nick and Jean-Luc that has this stuff for you. It has a journaling function in there. So, Brendon Burchard is a high performance coach, like top of the line high performance coach. Like, I don't know if I could ever afford his one-on-one coaching, but his app has like so much of his coaching in there. He does a daily fire every morning that is just like 15 to 20 minutes of positivity coming at you. And his journal in there has prompts. And so I'm working on getting in the habit of using his evening review prompts of just kind of processing through my day at night when I plug in my phone in the kitchen to put it to bed, going through those prompts. So I love his journaling prompts. And he has several different types of journaling prompts. He also has life score, a life score section where you are going through different life habits and scoring them daily, because when you score them, you can work on them. So his app is amazing. I love it. I am a big fan of his app. I'm actually a big fan of him as well. He's actually partnered with one of the companies that I'm partnered with. He's amazing. So like go look him up. You will love. I highly recommend you listen to, find it on YouTube, his dumb goals video. Like that was my first introduction to him, and I was like, yes, that's it. So dumb goals, Brendon Burchard. Another thing, oh, I can put it in the chat for you. Brendon Burchard. There you go. Another thing that for freeing up your mind that you need to have is margin or white space. Your life needs to have some margin. When you read a book, when you open a journal, when you grab a lined piece of paper, there are margins, top, sides, and bottom. A book has margins for a reason. Okay. Part of it is for our eye and our brain. Part of it is to leave space to annotate and take notes. Your life, so often we run our lives with zero margin. And I mean zero. So when you create margin in your life, you have space for the important things and for the emergency things, because things happen that we don't expect. And when you run without margin, emergencies become chaos. But when you create some white space, space for you to recharge, to refresh, to settle, to do things that fill you up, you then have space and capacity to do the things that you need to do and to deal with the chaos. And then my final thing for you, as far as freeing your mind, is body basics. And it's what P3 teaches you. It's moving your body. It's fueling your body. It's getting rest. It's hydrating, and it's taking care of your mind. So if we don't take care of our bodies, our minds are going to be a mess. Just think of how you have felt when you are not getting sleep, when you're not taking care of your body and moving it, and when you're filling it with junk. Your thinking processes aren't great. You're in an emotional roller coaster, brain fog. Life is difficult when your body doesn't feel good. So you've got to take care of your body. And I have a few links that I will send to the guys for you. One is a free PDF of my five foundations of stress management. They are the five that I teach. They are what I work on with my clients. And I give you a few tips or areas to work on in each one. And then the other one is I am offering a free webinar Saturday morning on time stress. So I would love if you all would like to join me 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Saturday morning. I'm not selling anything. I'm not pitching anything. I am just giving solid coaching on how to deal with time stress. It's called Ain't Nobody Got Time for This.
And it's perfect because our classes are canceled this Saturday because we're going to be flying to the Dominican. So you guys can come see this at 9 a.m. on Saturday instead of doing step class.
That would be awesome. Actually, I could throw those in the chat right now, but I will also send an email to you that
Perfect.
you can
So
send.
I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's session. So I don't know if Naomi, if you have anything else you wanted to share with the group, but yes, please send me any links or any details you want me to post, and I will definitely do that for you in the group. Or if you want to post some of it in the group yourself, you can as well, since you're also a member there as well.
Awesome. There you go. So those are the links, and I will. Yeah, I can post in. I'll post them in the group. I'll pop in there and put
Yeah, sure. And
the
then people
stuff
can ask you questions directly as well if they want to. So for
Absolutely.
sure. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was trying to do the breathings, and I was like going, and I saw people's faces on camera, so it was. As you know, I'm stressed a lot. I'm very, as most people know, we're very busy people. So it's always nice to have time to just sit back and breathe and relax and just take in the conversation. And for once, I didn't have to talk. So
Right? You get to just sit back and take
yeah,
it
just take it in and listen in on everything. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And again, just we'll get you in touch if you want to post anything in your group. We'll have people reach out to you, and then have a great rest of your week.
All right. Thank you. You too. And have fun in the Dominican.
Oh, we will. For everybody else here tonight, we'll see you tomorrow at tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with Jean-Luc and I. Where I'll be talking then for sure because I'm presenting. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Naomi.